With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, not as usual, although he's always here, but always. not on screen. Mike LaPlante. Unfortunately, AJ is out sick this week, so Mike is filling in. And
he likes to call it his bye week.
Yeah. He just didn't want to be here. So we're going to have a good show talking some week seven rankings through some start sit questions and that kind of stuff. But obviously, before we jump into some of that stuff, let's please hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave those comments, leave those five-star reviews. We appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. And of course, guys, the All Access memberships are still open. FantasySixPack.net/plans. You're going to get access to our award-winning rankings, both IDP and offensive rankings. You're going to get access to all of our DFS content, the projections, and then best of all, you get to talk to all of us on Discord. And that's where the real value comes in. You get to ask us all the little like nitty gritty questions about your league, your trade, your waiver wire, whatever it is. Because yeah, I mean, let's be real. Content is good. Content is helpful, but we can't specify the content to you. That's where you get to do it. You get to ask us, hey, should I pick up this player for this player? Should I trade this guy for this guy? You know, content gets generalized and it has to be because that's all we can do. So, all right, man. Mike, you ready to bring on our guest and roll through this?
Absolutely. Bring him on in.
All right. We got Steve Hungarter, a.k.a. IDP Hunter on Twitter. How's it going, man?
What's going on? It's going good. How about you guys?
Good, good. I'm glad to have you here, man. We've talked about it, you know, before the show, before the season started, getting you on here to talk some IDP. But you know, today you're going to do a little bit of both for us. You're going to help us run through all the offensive questions, and then at the end we'll let you do what you do and give us some IDP advice. So before we jump into that, though, man, I want to just talk about this general, like, this week is a struggle for a lot of people, right? Yeah. Not only do we have six teams on bye, right? That's an enormous amount. We have injuries just piling up. I mean, I know people starting running backs that have no business being in lineups right now. But like, I mean, what is, look, we had probably a good example, right? We had a question on Discord today. Hey, do I just punt this week or do I drop these valuable receivers to go pick up some scrub running back on the waiver wire just to have a warm body? It was a tough answer. You know, like one of his was like, should I swap out my kicker? And I'm like, well yes, kicker's a kicker. But you know, I think his worst receiver was Josh Downs. And I'm like, oof, that's a tough drop. And he, you know, the best running back he could have possibly picked up might have been, I think it was Damian Williams or maybe one of the Rams running backs, not named Zach Evans. And it's like, eesh, like, I don't know, maybe do just take the zero, because what, you're going to get like a point and a half from that guy, and like, what's he going to do for you? And you're going to lose Josh Downs. So like, I don't know, like, what do you do in that situation? See, like, how do you get through these weeks where we got, you know, injuries piling up all left and right. We've got, you know, tons of players on bye. People are desperation mode.
I mean, you just got to work it. You got to look at your team. I mean, I am an habitual user of the taxi squad and the IRs. So if I can stash guys later on, especially like IDP to me, honestly, it's like, it's a skeleton crew. I could dump those guys and bring them in back and forth. So it's all about roster construction.
These Jamie weeks, would take the mean, zero, apparently.
Really 2 weeks ahead. You got to think 2 weeks ahead almost with this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, though, when the injuries get you at the same time. You might have tried to plan 2 weeks ahead, but you're still going to get burnt by injuries. You know, I mean, I had CMC, and I'm in that same sort of situation. Thankfully, I was able to snag. I either had Eli Mitchell stashed on my bench.
You had Monty, too.
To grab Jordan Mason. So I've got that swap possible on Monday night, but I know not everybody is in that, you know, friendly of a situation. People are just, you know, and they might not be able to wait till Monday to figure out what CMC is going to do, right? So you're going to have to make that decision. And I don't know. It's rough, man. Yeah, Jamie's over here saying he's got to have to start Matt Breida in the Superflex. And of course, that's like worthless at this point, because – you know, with Barkley back, Matt Breida doesn't touch the ball. So,
and on that note, you know, a common strategy, and most of us veterans know, you know, you never put your flex players on Thursday night.
Of course not.
You don't. So, you know, you put the 1 o'clock guys early to play Thursday early. So that way you give yourself predictability. If you find out, oh, I don't know, James Robinson is starting as an example, you have time to maneuver. So those Sunday, Monday, what ifs, then you have time to do it.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I've got, but I mean, I legit have a league where everybody except for one player on my bench, Jordan Mason, is on bye.
Well, you can play devil's advocate with that too. Like, okay, this is a guaranteed L, but the rest of the season I'm going on, you know.
I guess. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I've got like the third most points in that league, but I'm 3-3. I'm so pissed.
But yeah, other than a kicker and maybe like backup tight end, I don't even know why you're keeping more than two on most setups. But yeah, I'm keeping my studs. I'm trying to protect them. So
yeah, I mean, at some point, you've got to look at long term. I mean, like, I guess if I was like, man, I guess if I'm like 2-4, 1-5, maybe you're just hoping and praying that, you know, you kind of strike gold on something. But if I'm in good shape and I can, you know, kind of eat the L, then maybe you just have to do it sometimes. You know, right. It does suck, but we're probably going to have another bad bye week coming up. The NFL always seems to do it to us. I don't know which week it is, but
I think it was 13 last I looked. It was the other six.
Of course it is. Like the week before playoffs start, right? You know, let's have some fun with people. But all right, man. So bring you in here to kind of run through rankings with us. What we do here is we do start sit scenarios that the producer over here, Mike LaPlante, comes up with. Usually he's just the voice in the sky that gives them to us, but we'll kind of cycle through them here.
I'm the guy in your eyes tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Jamie, week 12, there's no buys because it's, that's the Thanksgiving week. So they don't do buys that week because they have also Thursday next games, week. Friday games. There's no buys next week?
No, we talked about this the other night too. Or I remember talking with you about it. Yeah, next week there's no buys. And then they go right back to it. But then I think it was either week 11 or week 13 that you had six teams on bye. And they were some,
it is,
you know,
13.
Like,
there's actually bye weeks in week 14.
Yeah, it's not fun. I think one of them is the Cardinals.
Cardinals and Commanders. Yeah. Yeah, there are no bye weeks. I don't get it. Like, just spread it out. Like, four, three. I know you can't do odd numbers. So four.
Didn't it used to be like that? I believe it did.
Four every week. Yeah. And just get them over with. Week 5 through 10, be done. I don't know if that math makes sense, but quickly in my
head. Yeah, I don't know how they decide the time frame of like when the buys start, and then also how many teams are taking off for that week. I wonder how that process goes down.
100% certain. Roger Goodell hates fantasy football. He does everything in his power to screw us, including making NFL never stop. So I then can't stop.
You should be real happy to know that he signed a 3-year extension.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
So here we go. Week 9, you have Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, San Francisco. Week 10, Kansas City, Rams, Dolphins, Eagles. So 9 and 10 are your big ones. And then this week, week 7, you got Panthers, Bengals, Cowboys, Texans, Jets, Titans. So
8 weeks to buy for four. Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Yeah. Thanks for doing the math there. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I was off by 2 weeks. But anyway, I think you get my point. Still, yeah. It just needs to be done. 5 through 12. Be done with it. All right, Mike. Let's jump in here to our first question of the night.
All right. And Steve, you get to start us off here. Like we said, it's rough. QB injuries, QB bye weeks. So we're looking between Jordan Love at the Denver Broncos or Sam Howell at the Giants. Who you got?
Right. Shocker. I'm an IDP guy, so I'm going to take this through the IDP lens. Answer's Love, but let me give you a little analysis here. When I compare the two, from a defensive perspective, Denver's giving up 21.5 points per game to the quarterback. Giants giving up 16.3. Shocker, we all know the Denver defense is bad, like historically bad. I was doing some numbers, just doing a little digging. It's what I like to do. If you take out that 70-point blowout the Dolphins did on them a couple weeks ago, just take that out, throw that game away. The Broncos still gave up over 100 points this year, and that still ranks them that even without that game, they'd still be the second worst defense in the NFL. So if you put all that together, Jordan Love, start him, set it and forget it.
He worries me just even as a Packers fan with that that completion rating. At this point, I'm going to be starting to call it an incompletion rating with how low it is. But all right, Joe, who are you taking? Jordan Love?
I'm taking Jordan Love also, man. I can't. Matchup just says it all. I know Jordan Love has been bad the last couple of weeks. And
you're telling me.
It's, it started off very promising for the guy, but I mean, sometimes you've just got to let the matchup do the talking and don't get crazy with it. I mean, the Giants have been, they've been sneaky decent on defense. It's just their offense that can't do crap. And so, Howell will be fine, but he's definitely in the 16, 17, 18 range, maybe slightly higher. Love can, his projections right now have him inside the top 10 QB range. So with how bad that Denver defense has been.
All right. Unfortunately, guys, I cannot make this a clean sweep. When I did my research, it's Howell for me, but it is close because of the matchup. And that might have a little Packer bias behind it. We'll find out. So both of them have two top 10 finishes this year so far. Howell has been QB5 the past three games on fire while Love is at QB16. We've seen the decline with the turnovers and honestly, the lack of yards. Jordan Love hasn't had a game this year with over 260 passing yards yet. He's getting kind of vaulted up because of the touchdown production, which, I mean, I get it, but you can't predict those. Meanwhile, Howell has three games of over 290 passing yards. So I just think it's a little bit of a safer floor. And part of me thinks my gut says this matchup is a trap. Broncos allow 35.8 points to running backs, worst in the league, and that is by a huge margin to the number two. So, I mean, they may not even need to throw the ball.
They just allow a lot of fancy points everywhere. So
that's fair. I'll give you that. But it's almost one of those games where it might be a trap to where they might not even need to throw it.
It's a rivalry game. So
that's fair.
But that's just my take. I can't make it a clean sweep. Sorry, we'll move on. Maybe this one will be it. But Joe, you get to start us off. Again, rough matchups this week. Rough starts. Brock Purdy at Minnesota or Jared Goff at the Baltimore Ravens?
I'm thinking Brock Purdy. I know, you know, we're looking at possibly CMC missing, Debo missing, so that's going to hurt. But look, we've seen time and time again the San Francisco offense figure it out, even when they're missing a couple of really talented players. They'll get George Kittle more involved, right? Ayuk is still going to be there. And look, Purdy's just got the far better matchup. We're talking about the team who allows the 10th most points to quarterbacks to the team that allows like the second least. So, or actually the least. It's a, you know, Goff, okay. This could be a struggle bus game big time for Goff, unfortunately, I think.
All right. And then, so I made an executive decision since I'm producer Mike. We're going to bounce off of you two guys starting and going first and second since I got to ask
questions.
You're
always the tiebreaker? Okay.
Yes, I'll be the tiebreaker for tonight. So, Steve, you get to take it.
It's Purdy for me as well, but you know, if you were just to give me those two names, it's kind of misleading. You know, if I didn't have any context, because you know the context matters, of course, I'd say Goff would be the ceiling, Purdy would be the floor. He's very solid. But as Joe alluded to, let's look at the matchup. Okay, not only is Minnesota the 10th worst, not only if they keep losing games, they may even start rebuilding. But you know, the matchup is really telling. Minnesota gives up 18.4 points a game to that position, the quarterback, versus Goff. Goff's going against a solid, I mean, a decent matchup with the Ravens. They only give up 10.5. Plus, he's got to deal with studs on the IDP side of the ball, Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton. I would be very nervous.
Although, does Hamilton get suspended for – or is that just a college thing? He got ejected last game, right?
Who's that?
Hamilton?
No, he's playing. Yeah, he's
playing. Yeah. Is that just a college thing? I know when they get ejected in college, you like miss, you miss the first half of the next game or something. I didn't know if the NFL did that.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's playing. And like I said, the matchup is a little bit too solid. And, you know, the Lions like to throw it around. So I can see a lot of turnover there. Birdie is a safe play. And like I said, I hate to even say this, but during the bye weeks, start Purdy and forget it.
Purdy is turning into a you need to start him anyway type play almost. Like he's looking good.
Except last week. I think he's like a,
last week was
he's rough. Like that Volkswagen car you have in your garage. I mean, you know, it's not sexy, it's not a Corvette. You know, you're not gonna pick chicks up in it, but he'll get you to work, you know. But you're right, he has stats this year. Why not?
I mean, he's QB13 even after that.
AC's a little shoddy, but he gets you from point A to point B.
I mean, the nickname needs to stand 30 for Purdy because how many 30-point games has he put up this year?
I'll have to look that up.
Zero, actually.
There's a bunch.
What leagues are you in?
No, the 49ers, they put up 30 points a game.
They were
averaging it before.
I should have clarified points. That.
Before.
He hasn't put up any, but he got
before last week against
the Browns. He gives up 20 points a touchdown. Yeah, if you look at the 49ers this year, they're putting up points, so he's going to get some.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm the clean sweep on this one. It is Purdy for me. Baltimore is first against the Colts, so, like, just piggybacking off your matchup talk against QBs allowing only 10.4 points a game. That's scary. So, Goff, he has been
QB6. Look
at
this, though. Week one? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Steelers, they put up 30 to 7, Rams 30-23, 49er Giants 30-20, 35.
Oops, you're breaking up.
You're going to get points out Purdy. So why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's Purdy for me as well. I mean, Goff has been hotter the past three games at QB6. Purdy's at QB8. But the difference is a total of 6 points, 55.1 to 61.2. So, or 6 points. So it's that minute of a difference to go for the matchup in the tiebreaker. So that's a clean sweep. All right, we're going to move on then to the running backs. And Steve, you get to start us off here. And this one's a fun one. I know Joe had fun answering this.
It's just like, these guys are both gross.
I know, but I mean, these are real life scenarios that people are going through.
I mean, the running back room right now is gross.
It is. Najee Harris coming off the bye against the Rams, or Roschon Johnson. I mean, who, let's be honest, he didn't practice today either, so he may not even play. So if you guys want to just plug in Deontay Foreman for this one instead, that works too as well. Against the Raiders, or the Raiders. Yeah. Steve, all you.
I took Roschon Johnson, and again, he's questionable, so check the concussion protocols. That's what he's in. And I mean, there's not really a lot of analysts here. It's a flip of a coin, really. But let's just say one thing: he's playing the Raiders. He's playing the Raiders. He's playing the Raiders. So,
yeah. I get it. I went Harris, and I didn't even think about like maybe being able to swap out whoever with the injury type of thing. But I went Harris because I just don't know if I trust Johnson to get the bulk of the workload, even if he's in there. Like, he may not even get 50% of the carries, to where at least we know Najee will. They haven't been good, but he's still getting the work. So it's not going to be pretty with either one of these guys, in my opinion. But I'll still take Harris, and I know the matchup is brutal, but I'm going to go with the volume player for this one.
I mean, I don't even look up the matchups being as brutal as
Roschon will get more points than Harris if Roschon doesn't play.
Good. Jamie's hot with this Roschon Johnson stuff. I mean, he drafted him in Scott Fishbowl first round. Just full disclosure there.
Hey, why not? Why not? In that league, you got to be bold. I'm siding with Steve on this one. Little fun nugget here. At this point, I just go for the upside of Roschon Johnson because, like you laid it out, Joe, it's not been pretty. It's not been good. Yeah, there's been volume, but it's the – not only has Harris looked bad, but the offense looks just as bad. Like, I don't know which one looks worse, and it's not helping him at all, because if he's going to get all this, you know, kind of poor man's volume, not going to get the reception work, he needs the red zone work, which they're not getting into the red zone.
Right. No, that's a valid point.
So look, it doesn't
like
help
one of these guys, to be honest with you, but I get it.
Little nugget here: Colts tight end Kylan Granson, who's tight end 19 on the year for context, has 31 points this year. Najee Harris, RB42. Yes, he's had a bye week, but he's only at 30.9 points. Like, the tight end 19, Mike. Tight end 19 is scoring more points than Najee Harris.
You're gonna make me cry, Mike.
It is one more game, but come on, we're gonna
Najee in too many places for you to tell me that crap stat.
Me too. I'm sorry. I'm a Najee believer, but I'm gonna admit what
the volume
was
there, man. I was in on it. But all right, let's move on because I'm already sad. First, my monitor breaks. Now my Najee Harris is broken. Well, that was a long time ago, but anyway,
the offense is broken just as much, so it's okay. Joe, you get to start us off with another primo matchup. This one's a matchup of running backs in the same game, though. You want Jonathan Taylor versus the Browns, that ugly matchup, or Jerome Ford on the other side against the Colts?
So I had a really tough time picking this one, but I ultimately went with Jonathan Taylor, and I know the matchup is atrocious.
God awful.
I still like we've already seen it. Week two, we saw the utilization go up for Jonathan Taylor. I'm trying to look at the exact stats now. Sorry about that. Should have had that up and ready to go, but
it's scary.
Between week five and week six, his snap count went from 16% to 43%. Going to go up again. His rushing attempt percentage went up from 18% to 53%. Going to go up again. Jonathan Taylor is an elite running back. You do not sit an elite running back who is on the cusp of getting 60 to 65% of the carries for that team. He's going to run more routes than Zach Moss. Zach Moss is getting more and more pushed out of the way, as we all expected it. It just took a little longer than I think everybody thought. And yes, Jamie's bringing up another point that I was going to bring up too. Hunt's snaps are actually increasing. So you get kind of the double whammy of the opposite effect happening in Cleveland, where Kareem Hunt is starting to take more work away from Jerome Ford. Now, Jerome Ford actually saw his rushing attempt percentage go up this last game, but that was just a dirty, like, grinded out game. They're possibly getting Watson back. So we'll see what this offense looks like this week with, you know, Watson back and Hunt in the mix and, you know, that kind of thing. I kind of think you're going to see a little less work for Ford than everybody is expecting based off what has happened, especially last week. So give me JT.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I took the opposite counterpoint to that. I do believe Jonathan Taylor is going to be the guy. He's an elite talent. I don't think it's going to be this week. Zach Moss is still involved. When you look at the Browns, I get it. Hunt had a good game last week, but that's one game. One game with Hunt. I mean, this whole season he's been out. He's been lost. He's been on the back of milk cartons. I'm not relying on Hunt for one
game. I don't think Hunt's worth damn, but
I'm taking Ford.
It's getting work. That matters.
Yeah, Ford's solid in a better matchup. The Colts give up 21 per points the game to the running back, as opposed to the Jonathan Taylor Colts that are only getting 14. So if you're splitting between two guys, I think the math works out in Ford's favor.
All right, tiebreaker, Mike.
Joe, you're not gonna like me. I'm agreeing with Steve on this one. It is close. Now, hear me out, though. It's just this week. If it was next week, you get this question.
I agree to that.
If it was next week, you get the same question. It's Jonathan Taylor for me. All right. My only thing is, I agree with you. The workload's going to increase. I'm just wondering how much. I mean, we saw it last in week five. He had 7 total touches. Not very much. It pretty much doubled last week, getting 13 total touches. He really saw a workload increase in the passing game, getting 6 targets. But this matchup is just too rough for me. I look at Jonathan Taylor like Josh Jacobs. How do we know he's even game fit, you know, game ready? Like, that's what I'm concerned about. And you're going up against a seventh best team against RBs, only allowing 14 a game. Last two running backs the Browns faced was CMC, who was running back 15 last week, which I know he got injured, but he still had 21 touches. And then the week before was Derrick Henry, and they held him to RB28. So, like, this match, like, they're not just holding, like, you know, subpar running backs down. They're holding studs down, too.
Yeah, no. I know the matchup is rough. We have a couple questions here, though. One from Jamie. Start McLaughlin or Craig Reynolds? And Jamie, I believe these are usually PPR questions for you. You did not specify, but I'm actually going McLaughlin in either one. Gibbs is looking like he's going to be back, and we saw last time when Montgomery missed time, Craig Reynolds saw a whopping 4 touches. That was not good. So it's McLaughlin. We saw him get used a lot last week, even with Javonte Williams back. So
me as well.
You guys all agree, it seems like. So next up here, we
great matchup against the Packers.
Neon Cards has 2 questions. Should I trade Wait. So it's he said I'm gonna post one, but he posted it twice. One was Aaron Jones and Amari Cooper for Austin Eckler. The other one is Rashad White and Amari Cooper for Eckler. If I had to pick between those, if there's two options.
Is he a win now team? That's what I'd want to know.
Well, it could just be
a redraft.
Redraft would be my guess.
I mean, if we're choosing between the two options, I go the Rashad White route.
Yeah, me too.
To trade away.
But I do 100%. Either one, actually. I do either.
Would you really? You do the Aaron Jones one? Is it the injury that's kind of worrying you, or is it the fact they signed James Robinson?
No. But, I mean, the Packers offense has not looked great. And, I mean, Eckler, yeah, wasn't awesome last week by any means.
It is a buy low point for Eckler. Like,
so, yeah, I mean, Eckler, dude, you know what Eckler can do. He can, like, legit win you weeks.
I would do it as well. I'm doing both,
but if I have to choose, it's Rashad White over Aaron Jones in the trade.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
100%.
Moving on. Receiver.
The fun part. So, Steve, since you're new to this, you get three options. It is the fun part because you get three options and you get to start two and sit one.
Yay.
So, even more power to you.
Okay.
All right, Steve, you get to start us off, though. You want Marquise Brown against the Seahawks, Zay Flowers against the Lions, or Jacoby Myers against the Bears?
Okay, out of those three, I'm taking Marquise Brown as my first. I mean, he's been pretty steady this year, 3 touchdowns, 6 games. I mean, I'll take him. Between those two, that's actually a good question, between Flowers and Myers. I pulled the matchup here. 29.6 per game, Flowers slightly over Myers. 20, so it's like a half a point between Flowers and Myers. You can go either way, potato, potato. Even though Flowers is a better matchup, in my heart, I'm going to take Jacoby Myers. He passes the eye test for me. So give me Brown and give me Myers.
Interesting. I'm actually sitting Jacoby Myers because there's no Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, well, there you go, too.
I'm not believing in and everything you said is already spot on. So, like, I don't have to give a whole lot of extra, you know, data behind it because you just gave it all. But, dude, they are still super close, though. Like, Flowers and Myers were super close. Brown wasn't, like, drastically higher, but he was, you know, he did kind of distance himself from the other two. But yeah, without Jimmy G, man, I mean, I don't know. Do we really want to believe in Aiden O'Connell? Like, I don't know.
Or Hoyer?
Oh, God, please no. I forgot about that. But yeah, I'd rather have Zay Flowers than Jacoby Myers without a starting quarterback.
All right, Joe, you'll finally be happy. I am siding with you on this one. It is close,
time
though.
All night, man.
Jeez. Well, give me better takes. Give me better stats. I don't know what you want from me. I'm just kidding. But I mean, like, I didn't ask give me better rankings. Although I could right now.
Where are you at in the ECR?
You don't want to look, but that's where we got you. But you guys pretty much laid it out. And my main thing is with Garoppolo being out, if it is Hoyer who starts, which I honestly think it's going to be, if I had a gun to my head,
it shouldn't, but
if I had a gun to my head, they're trying to win now. And I think they think that Brian Hoyer gives them that. And I think he comes in and hyper targets the fuck out of Davante Adams.
Sure.
I mean, Jacoby's out-targeted Davante Adams the past 2 games.
I know he has. Jimmy. I know he has.
So, like, if Hoyer comes in, I can totally see it going, you know, the other route.
Nope. All right.
So, Joe. Drake London against the Buccaneers. Jordan Addison versus the Niners. Or Terry McLaurin, your boy, against the Giants.
So, dude, these guys. All three of these receivers. Now, Steve, just to let you know, I forgot to tell you this. I use half PPR projections in rankings when I do these answers. So it is what it is. But that being said, all three of these guys were within like five or six spots in my wide receiver ranking. So not much of a, you know, difference between any of these guys. So if you disagree with me, whatever.
I like it.
You know, we're talking, I mean, it's literally Terry McLaurin's 23, Addison's 26, Drake London's 28. Okay. Do you know what the point projection is between those guys? Like a half a point between all five or six of them.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter at this point. Like, but if you are putting a gun to my head, I'm sitting Drake London. There is still just a doubt in the back of my mind, even though Ridder has been really good the last few weeks as far as like fantasy production and getting the ball to London and even Kyle Pitts, who we'll get to later, and obviously Jonnu Smith, it's been like a revelation this year. Like, what the hell happened there?
He's back.
And I know Addison's going against San Fran, but like, I will say the one thing you can do against San Fran is actually pass the ball. They're they are mediocre against receivers.
15
the pack. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So McLaurin against the Giants, it to me is the kind of like, you know, pseudo no brainer. Give me Addison. I'm sitting London out of these three.
I agree totally. And you know, just to agree with your take, McLaurin is my number one this week, and I'll save that for later in the show. I got a sleeper metrics on him. We'll talk later. But my second player, I'm actually sitting London too. I'm playing Addison. When I first looked at it, as Joe just said, as he alluded to, I looked at it, I said, oh, the 49ers, oh, this isn't good. When I pulled the data, they're middle of the pack. They're ranked 15th. They're not that good on defensive backs. You can throw the ball on him. And Justin Jefferson-less Minnesota Viking team, yeah, Addison's my play for the week as well. So
I disagree with both of you, but that's the fun in fantasy football. I'm sitting Addison in this one. When I looked into it, I mean, the past three games, which I'll be fair. 1.5 of them were without Jefferson. I believe he got injured about, you know, like kind of like midway through that second 2 weeks ago. So 1.5 games without Jefferson, 3 games, 15 total targets. 15.
Dude, he had like a zero burger at one game.
I don't care.
Come on, you can't actually think that Addison's not getting targeted.
Drake London scares me. That whole offense, and I know he's a talent. I don't know what to expect with the Falcons each week. I really don't.
It does scare me.
They've been really good though. I will say they've been really good. But I wrote about it in the uses article that I did this week about their passing game and how just like unexpectedly like reliable better. It's been the last couple weeks, but man, you just know that bottom is. I mean, Ridder still threw like 3 nasty interceptions that were just like, what are you doing? He lost them the game.
Yeah,
he easily should have beaten my Commanders, destroyed them, but he threw 3 crazy bad picks.
I'm you know how I am. I chase the safety of volume. And with only 15 targets the past 3 games, I look at London and McLaurin's past 3 games, and they got 26 targets for McLaurin and 28 for London the past 3 games. 28 targets for London.
Yeah.
And he's wide receiver 14. Really dude, so, sit him when you got Addison, who's only got 15? And I look at the matchups, like Tampa Bay's eighth most points, all right, against wide receivers for Drake London, Giants 11th most against McLaurin, where the Niners is an all right matchup, but it's the worst out of the three.
Yeah, I mean, I will say San Fran, though, like the wide receiver one going against San Fran every week has done pretty good outside of the Pittsburgh game, but their passing game is awful. Sucks. And the Giants, who can't do
it. You can thank Matt Canada for that.
Puka smoked them. Marquise Brown and Michael Wilson smoked him. Amari Cooper even did pretty well this past week in that like gross game with PJ Walker. Like, what?
You're not
gonna believe that Kirk Cousins and Jordan Addison can't do at least what Amari Cooper did? Book it.
I can make the argument that all of those receivers that you just listed off are better than Jordan Addison, and that includes Puka Nacua at this moment. They're all better, talented wide receivers than Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison still is somewhat of
Michael Wilson?
Oh, well, the Michael Wilson one. All right, I missed that one. I'll take fault for that. I missed that one.
All right.
But anyway. It's fun because we can all have differing opinions. And this is also why we have another question about wide receivers, because it gets even grimier. All right, Steve. Are you starting Michael Pittman against the Browns, Chris Godwin against the Falcons, and then sitting Amari Cooper against the Colts, or what are we doing here?
You know, I didn't really have to put a lot of thought into this one. There's not a lot of advanced metrics research. I'm sitting Pittman. I'm starting Godwin and Cooper. Here's why. Both of those matchups, they're getting over 20 points a game. And then also, I mean, they got Gardner Minshew in there now. The quarterback's out. The offense is
Minshew
a little bit
mania.
And if you really want to look at the data, Jamie's going to love it when I say this. The Browns this year, real life defensive football, they're playing lights out. They're playing good football. Yeah. So that one was an easy one for me. Bench and Pittman, forget it.
Yeah, it was close between Pittman and Godwin. Godwin just has not done very well as the plant figured out pretty quickly this past week. Outside of the game that Mike Evans got
we'll
hurt,
see
Godwin
why later.
Hasn't performed. But yeah, I mean, it's Pittman, man. Like, but when it's close between a guy like Godwin and Pittman like this, you look at the matchup and the matchup says Godwin is favored. So
I disagree with you guys. I sit Godwin. Now I just look
it's
at it last
you're
week.
A hater now. And we'll get to that.
Maybe. But I have something to back it up. I mean, last week you had Mike Evans back. Like, let's be honest, Chris Godwin had his best game of the year when Mike Evans went down with the injury. He got the targets and he ate with them. He absolutely did. But with Mike Evans back last week, he went back to fringe wide receiver two area at that wide receiver 27, only got 7 targets. Meanwhile, last week with a full starter in Minshew, a full week of practice, Pittman got 14 targets and finished as wide receiver 10. Now, I know the matchup is ugly as all hell.
Yeah. The targets are there for Pittman for sure. Like the volume.
Pittman's the number one.
Sometimes that wins, but against Cleveland, man, I don't know if it's going to win. But
Chris Godwin's the two right now. That's kind of my argument.
That they are close. It was kind of a coin flip for me. They're super close to my rankings. I'm trying to look it up right now. So Pittman is 27, Godwin's 25. I mean, like, you're talking
super close,
but Cooper's way up there at like 16 for me. So that was kind of the no-brainer one for me. And then the other two were like, okay. We do have a question, though.
Patty, Cooper did well.
Do I trade away AJ Brown for Wilson and Puka?
Garrett Wilson, I'm guessing.
My receivers would be Puka, Cooper.
Wilson. I hope it's not Michael Wilson.
It is Michael Wilson because he's saying his receivers would be Wilson. Because he's saying his receivers would be Wilson. Who are they now, though? I'm 2-4. So he's gaining Puka and Michael Wilson, giving up AJ Brown. I mean, AJ Brown and Puka are pretty close. I'm not buying in on the Michael Wilson hype yet. The AJ Brown and Puka, especially in a full PPR, like, is pretty close, if not slightly leans Puka still right now. But I still, you know, I think I would ultimately put AJ Brown ahead, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't hate it.
How do you trade away Brown?
Because it looks like maybe your third receiver is pretty.
I'm playing AJ Brown till the wheels fall off, and I get it. Puka, AJ Brown, Wilson's not enough. I need a little more sweetener in my coffee if I'm going to make that move. You know, so
yeah, I kind of agree, but like, man, I wonder, like,
not a big enough cherry on top.
Who is your actual third receiver now that you're trying to upgrade to Wilson from it? That's what I would want to know. And that's where, honestly, guys, again, jump into the Discord with us. This is why, please, you know, we're answering these questions here, but we can't get into it because we got a show to run. We're at 42 minutes. We try to get in an hour. So we got to move on. We try to get to everything we can, but that's where being an All Access member, jumping on us on Discord, ask us, we can ask these details. We can ask these questions, give you the best advice to make these decisions that you need to make. But Mike, tight end.
Oh, you finish it up just to get to tight ends? Oh, that's so boring. But,
you want me to keep yelling at people?
No, but tight ends aren't much better. You want to talk about all the bye weeks and injuries? Let's talk about tight ends.
Actually kind of a fun one this week.
It is.
Taysom Hill.
Joe, do you want Kyle Pitts against the Buccaneers or Pat Freiermuth against the Rams?
I want Logan Thomas.
He's not an option.
He is. He's totally an option. Give me Logan Thomas. No.
After that stellar performance last week, you want him?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As much as I hate myself for doing this, Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm. It's like, on camera, folks.
We just said, do 3 hour shows. Problem soft, Jamie. I'd fall asleep in the middle of them.
I need a catheter plugged in.
Kyle Pitts is my like pick. There's really no.
You look good, like you're regretting it. There's just no good stats here.
I'm not gonna lie. Like Kyle Pitts, we know is supposed to be awesome. And look, I will say this, right? Kyle Pitts has, like, we've talked about how much better this offense has looked in the last 2 weeks. 17 total targets the last two games. He scored finally, of course, mm-hmm. against my Commanders. Do I expect another touchdown? No, but at least the volume is starting to be there, and he's actually starting to like be productive with the volume, to where sometimes we've seen like these 10 target games and he catches two. at least we're getting like 8 target games and he's catching 6. Like, so maybe the trend continues. We know the struggles with the Steelers offense, so I guess given the offense, at least that's showing at least a little bit of trend up.
All right, Steve, who you want?
I went Pitts, and thank you for going first, Joe, because I feel better about myself. I feel so dirty.
Like, I don't want any of you guys.
I want to go upstairs and take a shower after this by giving you Pitts. And Freiermuth actually has the better matchup.
He really does.
But I think coming off an injury, and then keep an eye out on Deontay Johnson. He's supposed to be coming off the IR this week. I don't know. Yeah. That could be a rumor.
I don't know if he's going to play, sure. But yeah.
I'm not sure. But, there's a lot of mouths to feed there, and that offense doesn't look that impressive. And
it's not they're not on the field enough to, like,
right,
you know, support 6-7 weapons that they actually have to, you know, for the 55 off of the plays that they run every game. Like, it's awful.
And then we said this earlier with the Falcons, it all comes down to Ritter. If Ritter eats his Cheerios and has a great game, we're getting points, you know, out of London.
Wheaties. You gotta eat his Wheaties.
Yeah.
Come on. You had the wrong cereal, but you were right on.
Take right a ball. Yeah, take your vitamins, you know, eat Cheerios, have your Wheaties. Just get me my points. But I went Pitts. And
Steve,
I know you're older
like me. Your Flintstones vitamins,
yes,
and your Wheaties, man. Do it.
Mm-hmm. I used to pop like those.
No idea what we're talking about.
Those
they
gummies
were so good. They were like candy. I mean,
no, we had the chalky ones, Mike. We didn't have the gummies.
Oh, well, I mean, those were still good too, though.
You actually know what I'm talking about? I'm actually shocked.
The Flintstone vitamins? Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they packed a lot of flavor in those bad boys.
Yeah, they were so good.
Definitely a lot of sugar.
Sugar's a vitamin, right?
Eat Wheaties. Sugar's with vitamins. Yeah.
We just lost your whole entire audience making all these 1980
and 90 references. Oh, man. I mean, you guys had such great arguments, and I can't have a counter argument against Pitts. Other than, like, I'm going Muth because I like the touchdown upside a little bit better. And when we're talking about this range of tight ends,
yeah,
and we're not, you know, you want the touchdown upside. And Joe, I know you can feel for this because I know you used to. Steve, I don't know if you used to. I want to say you do. You seem like a Madden guy.
Oh yeah,
but exactly. How do you stop a tight end in the middle of the field? Fast linebackers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who do the Buccaneers have? Devin White and Levante David. There's a little. I know you know that IDP, man. But they are so quick. I think they're probably the best chance to be able to keep up with Kyle Pitts and probably shut him down.
They line Pitts up out wide too much for the linebackers to cover him.
So, I mean,
just saying that. Just saying, like, if you watch the Falcons,
if they play zone,
don't line Pitts up at the traditional tight end spot. That's going to be Jonnu Smith. So maybe Jonnu Smith gets the tick down, which he did for me this week. So.
I mean, if I was the Buccaneers, I would not be game planning against Jonnu Smith, but that's just me.
Hey, Jonnu Smith has been balling out, man.
I'd rather have him beat me.
I have him in multiple leagues where I punt a tight end, and it is working.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, this just proves that punting tight end, unless you're getting like a Kelce, Hockenson, Andrews type, you're much better to just punt tight end.
But it's also why I went after the Andrews and Hockenson this year, because I was like, I hate this world. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be in this.
You said it eloquently, though. Once you get in that range of tight ends, I mean, I almost feel like every week, who do you start, Pitts or, you know, Noah Fant or Pitts? You're always going to say Pitts, and you're just hoping. You're praying at night. You're
right. Saying prayers. Yeah.
You're taking your Flintstone vitamins. You're eating your vegetables. You're hoping it works, like Hulk Hogan used to do. You know.
Please use Pitts in the red zone.
Jamie, yes, they still do sell Flintstone vitamins. I almost bought them for my kids, but I just didn't. Anyway.
Oh my
Do we want to do your video? Does it break it up a little bit now?
Hey, your call. I'm just the producer. You're the host.
All right. Let's figure this out. All right. So screw it. Let's do Steve's IDP streamers of the week. So what we're gonna do here is Steve's our you know, new one of our newer new well, we have a whole new crew of IDP guys that we brought on this week this year, and Steve is one of them. We're glad to have him here. He's awesome, obviously. So one of the segments that we wanted to do this season didn't really quite happen, but now that we have Steve here, I kind of forced him into it. Steve's IDP streamers of the week. So you're going to give us a couple D linemen, a couple linebackers, a couple DBs that people should be looking at that are, you know, I think readily available in their leagues, in most leagues, right? You know, and again, as I kind of said earlier, right, you know, we generalize content because it's kind of what we, you know, we have the numbers, so it's 50% or less or whatever rostered in leagues. We do what we can. This is where jumping into Discord or something like that really helps. But Steve, give us your two D linemen that you want, you know, you think people should be paying attention to this week as far as like streamer.
Okay. I like to go a little deep, so I'm just going to throw names that people probably don't usually know, and I want to make sure I pronounce this right. This guy's name is Tuli Tuipulotu. So Tuli, Tuipulotu. He's a defensive lineman, rookie of the Chargers. Tuli Tuipulotu. Okay? You'll probably never hear any other analyst talk about this guy, but I'm going to tell you why you need to know him. Okay, he's taking 85% of the snaps right now. If you're following IDP, usually the baseline's about 50% is a good player. Over 60 is a high number. He's getting 85%, okay? Ooh. He's playing on the Chargers. The Chargers love to pass the ball or score a lot of points. So teams are going to be behind with him. Teams are going to be behind. He's going to be in a prime position to get sack plays, big plays, impact plays. doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to have, you know, those other guys around him too, like Bosa, right? So let's look at this week. This week, he's going up against the Chiefs. That's going to be a shootout. It's historically a shootout. This year with Patrick Mahomes, I think they're the 13th ranked passing offense, which is, you know, middle of the pack, whatever. But still, that's enough to get home with that kind of name. I can see that one going back and forth the whole entire game. And just another little nugget to throw at you guys. The Chiefs this year, their offensive line, they're not giving up a ton of sacks, but they're giving up 48 pressures a game. Expect that to bleed over. Yeah, that's a lot. So I like that name. I like him as like a sleeper, a streamer, especially during the bye weeks. You see the article I wrote, guys. Slim Pickens article. I tried to go like 30.
Yeah.
I really did. I tried to go deep because there's guys out there that are in positions to land you a good week. And
I love your featured image and your intro like combinations. But you don't know this, but Keith messaged me last week and was like, "What the hell is an MRE?" And I was like, "Read his intro." anybody like me and Mike know what an MRE is, probably from Call of Duty. Pretty much it.
you never know what you're gonna get on a waiver wire, especially with
so IDP. Hilarious, man. Billy so Mack, hilarious.
You might get veggie omelet, yeah.
So yeah, you did like the Marvel thing at one point, like the glove.
Yeah.
You did, and then you did Thanos. Like the pirate thing. I love I want to make you an image for your art, but I love seeing what you come up with. It's so creative. I'm like, until you yell at me.
They come to me during the week. I'm like driving in my car and I'm like, man, this is going to be a tough article, right? Slim Pickens.
Oh,
like,
always is.
Let's find that image. Or which one did I do a couple of weeks ago? I found, gems out of a record store. The guy was selling gems. I put the image on.
The Lego pirate thing. Keith is always like, what the hell are these images? And I'm like, just they're awesome. Just let him let him roll with it, man.
Or
let him
be. I love the injury it. Week.
This is his IDP waiver article for people who are not aware of what we're talking about. The image and the intro are fantastic. I love it. Second defensive lineman.
Yeah, I got another defensive lineman this week. It's Ed Oliver of the Bills. I'm not a fan.
I saw your Twitter post about this.
Thank you. And I love this one. He's a defensive tackle. He plays a 3 technique. I'm not really that impressed with that position. But just hear me out, guys. Let me walk you through this, okay? The Patriots, they're in the top 10 as far as going back to pass. They like to go back to pass, and they're not a very good offensive line. PFF has them graded. PFF has them graded like a bottom 3. And when you go back and you look at their players, there's only one offensive lineman in the green. So translation, they're a terrible offense. Okay. They love to go back like it's 1975. Go back, throw back the football. Right now, let's talk about Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver, he leads his team in pressures. He leads his team in pass rushes, and he leads his team in quarterback hits. So if you put that all together, I expect Ed Oliver to be incredibly busy on that team.
He was highly touted coming out of college too. He's an animal on the line. He's just if I remember correctly, he was just a little undersized when he came out for the 3 technique. But I mean, he's huge when you look at him on the field. So I like it.
So Jeremy's got a question for you, Steve. So we got need a cornerback in the IDB tournament.
You know,
Darius Slay or Steven Maslin.
Cornerback, you could punt. I mean, you could find something out there, matchup based, whatever. Keep an eye on. I don't know if he's out there. Keep an eye on the Jaguars. Got a guy, Darius Williams. Everybody's throwing the ball on if you look at his stats, everyone's throwing the ball on the Jaguars this year. I think they give up 32 to the pass. If you can get him, a lot of people don't know that name. Pick him up, start him, forget about it. Another one you can do with the Saints. Now be careful with this one because they're taking away his snaps. Another unknown name is Alante Taylor. He plays the slot for the Saints. He's getting
well. The Saints are playing now, so you can't
do
that.
And the Jags.
Oh yeah,
and the Jags.
You're right. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
but
that's what's fun about doing the Thursday night show is you can't pick the Thursday night games.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. And that guy's losing snaps anyway. To be honest, with cornerback, it's kind of a punt each week. You just got to look at the matchup. So let's look at this week. God,
of course, Taysom Hill.
There's a guy in the 49ers, Lenore. A lot of people don't know him. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Lenore, L-E-N something. He's a corner. He's getting a lot of tackles. A lot of teams nowadays, they don't really care about the third linebacker. They use it at they play two, and they bring down a safety or an extra corner. 49ers use that guy. He roams around. It's almost as good as a Sam linebacker. He's in a lot of places. I pick him up and play a lot very often. So, yeah, if you can get away with Lenore or Williams, that's who I would go with.
Over Slay and Steven Nelson, even?
I guess, you know what, I take it back. Yeah, you know what, Slay has a history of being a player and coming up with plays in key game. So I'd go Slay, Lenore, Williams, and then Nelson would be my last. I don't really care for Nelson.
You heard it here.
All right, so I think we're moving on to we're linebackers, so.
So there's a guy named Quay Walker, and I don't know how – most people know who that is. Yes. But here's the deal. Devontae Campbell is hurt, injured. You got to check the waiver on this. What's interesting about Quay Walker is if you look at his stats this year, he's got two games of 17 tackles or more.
Yeah.
No other linebacker has that this year. So if you can get him anywhere or maybe, you know, do a sneaky trade, get Quay Walker. Campbell's out, possibly. It's going to be his role. Enjoy that.
I mean, that's upsetting because Campbell was a good linebacker for the Packers, too.
But, yeah, that's who I'm going with. I'm more than okay with Quay Walker. I mean, again, I kind of have him in my top 10. I don't know how much of a streamer he's going to be, but I'm banking on there's a lot of leagues that are smaller and shallower, and he may just be out there for you guys. I'll give you another one here. Same team. This is kind of cheating. So if you want, I'll throw another one. There's a guy on the Packers. If Campbell is out, let me make sure I'm pronouncing his name right on this podcast. He actually produces in little pinches. So if I'm in a deeper league on the Packers, yeah, if I'm in a deeper league, I'm looking at this guy. His name is hold on. I got to pull it. Hold on a second.
Excuse I'm curious me. Even.
Yeah. Packers depth chart. And I'll give you that in a second. I just have a hard time saying it right. So.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Cause I'm trying to think like, I can't name the middle linebackers past Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker.
Isaiah McDuffie. That's who it is. I wasn't sure if it was McDuffie, McKenzie, Isaiah McDuffie. Rather unknown. He's a guy I've been stashing in my 32 team leagues, what have you. Whenever he gets an opportunity, he's actually been playing really good this year. Let me show you guys some stats, okay? So between Quay Walker and Campbell, they've been up and down all year. It's been like ping pong, up and down, right? So he benefits as the third wheel. So week three, he got 6 tackles. Okay. Week four, he got 7 tackles. Week five, he got 10 tackles. So as a replacement player, if either one of those guys is out, that's a cheap player to pick up. And that's how I play my IDP because I kind of know and I can go deeper. I usually invest in offense, high premium offense, and I will grab guys like this deeper. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. You're an IDP streamer for the most part.
Yeah. So that's the way I go with that one. I can.
We're good. Let's keep it rolling and okay. give us your two DBs real quick, and then we'll close out with our over under bets.
Okay. For DB again, I hate that position. It's the most volatile. It's whatever. So I don't really put a lot of time into it. But there's a guy Julian Blackman. Most people know who that is now. Not look, Mike don't look like he knows who that is.
No, I do. I'm trying to think of the team, though.
Colts. He plays for the yes. Colts. He's not a super athlete like a lot of names, but it's the scheme. The way they play that team, the safety comes down in the box, so he's a box safety. They call that the sweet spot in IDP. He plays 80% of his snaps in the box. So you almost got a little mini linebacker on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of tackle potential.
I was going to say, like, so I don't play IDP, but I do know that in the majority of leagues, tackles rule, right? Yep. That's kind of the standard, right? And so if you can find a safety or a corner who, like, comes in, I know a lot of people, like,
likes to get his
I remember,
nose
like,
dirty.
Back in the day, like, people, you know, when people would ask me, like, IDP questions, I had no idea what I was doing, but and I was always, and then I finally started looking into it a little bit. Like, people over like, oh, Darrell Revis, you want Darrell Revis? I'm like, that dude never gets thrown the ball.
Yeah, right.
Why do you want him? He's not gonna, he can't get you stats if he's not getting thrown the ball. Yes, he is a phenomenal corner, but not for fantasy.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, like, I learned it, but I never played, and maybe I should eventually one of these days. I don't know. I just don't. I don't know why.
You know, it's like, you know, I'd rather, you know, when somebody else is spending that top pick on a Sauce Gardner, well, I'll wait 7-8 more rounds, and I'll take DJ Reed or somebody like that.
Right. He's gonna get somebody. Yeah, like, I know those guys are good, and yeah, like the one or two games will get them two interceptions.
It'd be awesome. But if you're not getting a Trayvon Diggs where he gets you like 8+ interceptions, like, it's not worth it. It sounds like taking a cornerback that early.
And even it's hard then, to Trayvon Diggs is tough to roster.
There's really two ways to build a roster. Like you said, you either get your, you know, your top studs first. What I commonly get myself to do, I will go, depending on a scoring. If it's sack heavy, I'll go DL, linebacker, or I'll go linebacker. Usually I go linebacker because it's tackle heavy.
Linebackers, I think, are the ones that rule.
I will punt till the end, and I'll go safety. Yeah. And I got stuck in a 20-round draft recently, and everybody knows my strategy, and they all took the safeties. And I'm like, crap, what am I going to do? I counted the 20th round. I counted 12 players. So I wrote an article over at IDP, guys, a dozen last round players, and they're all panning out right now. You can totally get by just knowing. And there's high turnaround. So the next name I'm going to give you, it's a high turnaround position. You're going to be like, what the hell? This next guy's rostered in 1% of leagues.
IDP, I feel like, is more streamable than any other position out there. Like, it's so chaotic.
I know Joe plays more of it than me, but and he's been getting me into it. But it almost sounds like, you know, the cornerbacks and the safeties and IDP, it's like relief pitchers in fantasy baseball. Like, you can just swap them in and out daily, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that.
I used to tell people that would ask me about IDP questions, and I didn't play IDP, but I was always like, look. You can go after almost game script. It's almost like a little, you're almost kind of playing DFS with some of your guys like that, to where, and maybe Steve, like, maybe I'm totally wrong about this, but this is what I used to say to them. This was years and years and years ago. I'm like, look,
tell him he's wrong.
You want tackles. So you want the defense that's going to be on the field a lot. If you're having a stream through, that's a kind of a basic way to do it. I felt like.
So there's data on it, and it goes back and forth. It's conflicting. But to your point, kind of, you know, you'll hear people go, oh, get this guy. He has 100% of snaps. Well, yes and no. It's also volume. How long are you on the field? How long are you making plays? There was a point in this season, I think it was week 4 or 5, we pulled Matt Milano, and we pulled C.J. Mosley. Both of those guys were logging 100% of snaps. And when you did the math, same amount of games, same amount whatever – Milano had like 200 snaps, 200 total plays he played, and CJ Mosley had 300. So what does that tell you?
Right. Yeah.
What does that tell you? The Bills triculate down the field. They get off the field quickly. The Jets kind of stall out, to your point. So, yeah, that guy has more than a game, like a game and a half. And this was like week 4 or 5. It was a game and a half more points. So you got to kind of look at all that. IDP is like being a fisherman trying to weather the storm. You know, sometimes you get it right. Sometimes you get stuck in a hurricane. I mean, it's challenging, but it's fun.
Yeah, you got to be careful watching, like, you know, NFL Network and ESPN, and you know, getting sucked into the big play highlights because you're like, oh, I'm going to take that guy.
Right.
And it's like, but they don't help you in fantasy. But
I get stuck on the opposite. I get stuck on like, oh, this guy wins 80% of the snaps. Oh, look, this guy's going to be the next. Like right now, Boye Mafe of the Seahawks. I'm in love with this guy, but he doesn't play enough, you know?
Yeah.
So like, you know, how far do you love football and what are you willing to do to destroy your team? So sometimes you got to temper those expectations.
Yeah. All right, man. So we're going to move on here to our silly string bets or silly string picks. Sorry, I keep saying
bets. I'm just going to stop my camera now.
Mike, so last week we had – let me go back through the list.
I believed in you, Chris Godwin. Week,
I had D-Hop under at 11.8 half PPR, and I was right. Davis had Michael Thomas at 9.64, the over. We do not have his video yet. I don't know where it is, but he lost. AJ had 10.4 over for Garrett Wilson. Well, that was a bold pick, but he got it.
He's lucky he came back from that injury.
No kidding. I thought I was gold, man. I thought I was the only one to not lose because Mike LaPlante had Godwin over 11.03 and lost by 0.5 points.
Point so four.
What we are going to do here, and Mike, fix all the other shit. We're going to let Mike's video play here.
Hello, it's Michael Plant.
The audio playing?
At FF LaPlant on Twitter. I'm here with our silly string bets of the week. The silly string bets that I lost, unfortunately. Put my money on Chris Godwin this week to get me over 11.03 fantasy points, half PPR. And I lost by like 0.4. It really sucks. But I'm here to get silly string, guys. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I'm not going to enjoy it. Have fun.
Dude, your family had way too much fun with this. This is they way really better than AJ's. I'm not gonna lie. This is phenomenal. Good work.
I now have hair.
I now have hair.
Hello, it's Michael Plant at FF LaPlante.
I'll stop it. All right, we'll cut out. That was good stuff. Stop man. The torture. That was good stuff. That was torture. Oh,
I mean, for a short time,
we had fun.
For a short time, yeah, no, for a short time, I felt what it was like to have hair again.
That was too funny. So, we are back up this week. That was amazing. Yes, Jamie, that was me. Oh, Jamie, you got yours right too, and I didn't write it down, unfortunately.
He had Zay Flowers again.
Yeah, that's right. You picked Zay Flowers, and I forgot to write it down. So yeah,
he gets his first touchdown of the year.
I know. Dude, you barely beat that one too. So, all right. So we're going to go through the room here. Steve, you are up first as the guest. Who is your pick? What's their projection total? And are you going over or under?
Okay. I really don't want my kids to do that to me. So I put my IDP sunglasses on for this. I chose Scary Terry McLaurin. It's a 10.8. I'm going to say over. Here's my reasoning.
Is what you said?
Yeah, it said 10.8. I'm gonna say over. I'm gonna go over. He's playing the Giants. Here's what's interesting about this.
These are half PPR projections.
Right. Yeah. Half point PPR, 10.8. He's got a 19.6 target share in that offense. When he goes up against man coverage, he wins an astonishing 26.4% target rate. He beats man coverage more often than not. For some reason, the Giants run the fourth most man coverage in the entire NFL. So I just think if there's a situation he can eat, if they're going to keep that game close, rivalry game, it's going to be him. So give me Scary Terry, 10.8. I'm going to go the over.
He's been hot lately. Like I said, yep. I think he was wide receiver. He was in the teens for his last three games for wide receiver. Yep.
All right. I think it's a safe bet.
I think you're all right.
I'm afraid to go next.
You're going next.
I don't.
You're going next. I'm making it happen.
All right.
You told me I'm the host.
Since I can't win on the over, I'm gonna go on the under this week.
I'm taking a play out of my book, dude. There we go.
I'm taking the under on Rashad White. He's projected 10.7 fantasy points against the Falcons. All right.
What's the point total?
10.7.
10.7 under. Okay.
Under. Falcons have allowed just one rushing touchdown through six games and 10 through the air. So, like, I know Rashad White, the argument for him is he gets passing volume, but at the same time, like, and Joe will agree with this, the Falcons' defense is a little stingy. It's a lot better than we thought it was. Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell are locking down that secondary. I mean, I know they're getting touchdowns on them, but it almost is like once they get into the red zone, they just can't push it in when it comes to running back. So give me the under.
All right. So Jamie is going a different player finally, and he wants to do the over on Michael Wilson, which is actually
because the Seahawks play
5.71.
It's over. Actually pretty good.
The Seahawks are top three, if I remember, at allowing the most points to wide receivers. So, yeah. I mean, that is a good matchup.
Could be good. Yeah, I think that was pretty
But good. I'd be a little worried here, depending on where Michael Wilson is. Does he line up in the slot a lot? Because if he does, Devin Witherspoon, and I know Steve, you know Devin, he's been playing in the slot, I think, the past two games, and he has been pretty good.
So I'm going.
And I just want somebody else to get silly stringed.
I will eventually.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It kind of came off pretty easily.
Believe me, I've been silly stringed.
I still needed a shower though.
Plenty of times. So I'm going with Javonte Williams. And I'm actually going the under, shockingly. 10.1 points for him. The matchup is pretty solid against Green Bay. He's another week away from the injury. But look, he's really not seeing a ton of volume. He didn't see any work in the passing game this past week. Jaleel McLaughlin got a lot of that. Maybe he gets a little bit more. But in half PPR, the work in the passing game doesn't matter as much for running backs. And he has yet to surpass 7.7 fantasy points in a half PPR league this year. His projection is 10.1. I'm out. I'm going the under. So Green Bay, don't let me down, Mike.
I don't know. If there's anything,
it's all your fault if I lose. I'm just kidding.
It's death, taxes, and the Packers can't stop the run.
Well, I just don't think the volume is going to be there, and that team can't score points. Not in the red zone. They score these like big bombs, and so like I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be fine. You know what? If I lose, I lose. It'll be fun.
I'll tell you what, I looked at the injury report from the Packers. Even after a bye week, they're still just injury riddled. Like, what was the point of the bye week? Like, Jair might not even play. So, I mean.
No, cool. They'll pass more.
Exactly.
Right? They might pass more.
Exactly. I mean, Eric Stokes, I don't even think is. I mean, has Eric Stokes even played a game this year? Exactly. Yeah. My point. Like, I mean, Rasul Douglas is pretty much leading the pack for him.
Yeah. All right, man. So that is it for the show. Steve, I want to thank you for coming on. And
my
I want
pleasure.
To give you the opportunity before you bounce to let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter and what else you got going on this season, man.
You guys can find me on Twitter. My handle is IDP Hunters. Yeah, I'm also a writer for the Fantasy Six Pack and IDP Guys. And I host this show weekly. For the IDP guys, it's the IDP standing show. Getting a lot of views. I think last time I looked, there was like 600 views on that thing. We just filmed it. So something's going on good. There's a community for IDP. I'm excited to be a part of it.
It needs to grow. It's not as big as it should be.
It's good stuff, man.
I agree. I think it's because, you know, there's various scorings, lack of understanding. I mean, there's a lot of thought behind that. But hopefully we can... It's growing, so hopefully we can bring that together.
Absolutely, and it definitely needs to grow. Because, I mean, who doesn't love more scoring in fantasy football?
I would play offensive lineman if I could. Maybe I'm sick. I know people talk about kickers. I don't care. Put them. Give me all of them.
You heard the all 22 leagues?
Yes, they like, I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not in it though.
I don't know. I don't know if we have one this year.
We didn't renew the subscription, I think.
I think our league disbanded.
Do you know who is in an all 22 league? Jamie.
We were in one last year. But I think the league that we were in disbanded or something, and so we got whatever. I don't know the difference. But anyway. All right, man. Steve, thank you for coming on, man. Want to try to make this a weekly theme, man. I want to bring you on for some IDP stuff. So we'll have to talk on the back end and figure out how to.
Excellent. Okay.
Cool, man. But yeah. Have a good night, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Sounds good.
See ya.
See you guys.
All righty, Mike. So that is it, man.
Pretty beat. That's all she wrote.
So I think we'll just close it out. Peace.
Adios.